Good morning. Well, it's cooler in church as it normally is, but isn't it cooler outside? And we say thank you for that today, because it's been quite a week. Following this service, there'll be a showing of a short video on how to use the defibrillator. Stay in church if you would like to watch it, or go for tea and coffee if not. On Wednesday the 1st of July, it will be the home group Bible study at Neil and Avril's at 7:30. On Friday the 3rd of July, it will be the cafe at 10 a.m. in the church hall and the craft group at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday, the 5th of July, will be Sunday service with communion at 11 a.m. and it will be Darren Burgess leading us in our worship. And Worship Warriors will be at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Please note that today's service is a DIY service, so thank you to those that have agreed to take part. If you haven't got a sheet and you're taking part, so you don't know where you're going to be, just wave your hand. Okay, I think... Yeah, okay, that's absolutely fine. If you haven't got a sheet, just wave your hand and Helen will sort you out. Today's service will be recorded and put on the church website. If anyone taking part doesn't want their contribution to be put on the church website, please see Dave Lee, who will ensure that your part is removed from the recording before being uploaded. So I'll pass over to Rod, who's going to lead us and start us in our worship today. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Just get my paperwork sorted. Welcome to the service this morning. Before we start, I'd just like to share something with you. It's something I found amongst my paperwork and various other bits and pieces that my wife calls my little contribution. And I call it something that'll come in useful at some time. But sometimes it gets accumulated that much that I have to sort of sift through it and get rid of some stuff. The thing I came across this week was a piece that I'd heard some time ago in this church, but the copy I'd got was done on an old typewriter, and I think prior to that it was probably on parchment. So I'll read it to you, my updated version of it anyway. It's called Our Saviour. Our Saviour, he put on humanity that he may save mankind. He became Son of Man that we may become the sons of God. He came from heaven where the rivers never freeze, winds never blow, frosts never chill, flowers never fade, and no one is ever sick. He was born contrary to the laws of nature, lived in poverty, reared in obscurity. He had no wealth or influence. He had neither training nor education. His relatives were inconspicuous and uninfluential. In infancy, he startled the kings. In boyhood, he amazed the priests. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the waves and hushed the sea. He healed the multitude without medicine. He never wrote a book, yet he is the subject of more books than anyone. He never wrote a song, yet he had been the theme of more songs than all the other songwriters together. He never founded a college, yet all the schools together cannot boast as many students as he had. He never practiced medicine, yet he healed more broken hearts than doctors healed broken bones. The harmonizer of all discord and the healer of all diseases. He shunned all riches, yet for our sakes he became poor. Great men have come and gone, yet he lives on. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Death could not destroy him. The grave could not hold him. He slept in another's manger. He cruised the lake in another's boat. He rode on another's ass. He was buried in another man's tomb. All failed, but he never failed, the ever-perfect one, and this is our Saviour. Shall we start with a prayer? Heavenly Father, we come here together this morning and worship to you and give you praise for all the love you have shown to us. Lord, we are not worthy of your love, but we are able to come here through your only Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for anyone who's not able to be here with us this morning to join in our worship. And we pray that they may know that we hold them in our prayers. We pray for all those who have suffered from the oppressive heat this week. We also pray for those suffering from the earthquake, influenza, in Venezuela, and pray for more survivors may be found. Also for the unrest in the world at present, with conflicts between Israel and Lebanon, and the conflict with Iran. We pray for peace in that region, Lord. We also pray for Ukraine and pray for peace there. And there may be a change of heart in the Russian leadership. This we all ask in your name. We pray also for all those contribution to the worship this morning, whether it be individually or joining together in singing and worship, so that we may be blessed in your presence. Amen. Our first hymn is number 480 in the Blue Book, Rejoice, Rejoice, Christ is in You.
Thank you.
I wanted to share with you a daily devotional from this book. I don't know whether you've ever seen it before. It's Soul Fuel by Bear Grylls. He says that any strength he has tends to come from the quiet moments at the start of his day, when he's on his own, taking time to be still before God. Starting like this, he says, helps. It's like food and good fuel for the soul. This is what he says about take time. We can go roughly 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, and 3 minutes without oxygen. How long can we live effectively without refueling our faith? Jesus never went long without praying. There was a time when the crowds were so desperate to get a piece of him that there was no time to eat. People were running towards him, predicting where he might be going next and waiting there. It was the busiest season in his life, but Jesus knew that he needed time alone in prayer, even more so when it was busy. Jesus always seemed to stick to his routine as a clear source of power for the day ahead. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. That's Mark 6:31. Jesus' words to his disciples are also words to us today. That's why I, as in Bear Grylls, try to start my best to start every day in a quiet place, getting my soul fuel in, even if it's just for a few minutes. And do you know, he's always ready and waiting for me, and he's never late. So make that little time and protect it, even if it's with your eyes closed, when you're washing up or going to work. Breathe it in. Know his presence around you. Let his words soak in. Let his strength empower you. Know you are forgiven, healed, restored. Ask for those things afresh. Be thankful and pray for the day ahead. Be still and know that he is with you. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Now we are ready to hit the day. So are we ready to hit the day? Things that don't help me are busy days that have no stillness, entertainment, TV that distracts, or thinking I can do it on my own. Prayer and worship music helps me. Be Still by Hillsong Worship, drawn from Psalm 46:10, is a wonderful, good start for the day for me. If you get a chance, have a listen to it. If I were to describe my ideal day, it wouldn't begin with noise or rush. It begins with God. My most ideal day isn't perfect. It's God-centred. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Morning, everyone. So I'm not going to lie, when Helen asked me last week to introduce this next little segment, I was a bit bewildered. I wasn't sure what I was going to say or what I was going to do or how to do it. And she did give me some suggestions and ideas herself of what I could say. However, as I've been thinking about it ever since all week, there's been one quote in particular that has been springing to mind, and that is a verse from Matthew 5, and it's verse 14. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Now, I first came across this. I know it as the start or part of a song that I came across many years ago by a band called LZ7. I came across this when we first went to the Big Church Day Out many, many years ago as a group. And that quote is just very relevant to this next segment. Obviously, the verse itself refers to Jesus being our light of the world, especially in times of trouble or darkness. And he is our guiding light and he's with us at all times. However, we can also be a guiding light ourselves to others out there, whether it's a simple act of kindness, helping someone, offering words of encouragement, even a simple smile can go a big way to making a big difference to somebody's day. And, you know, shining our light on them, as they say. So with this in mind, I would like to introduce our next segment. It is in the form of a video. I do think we have seen this video before, so please feel free to sing along because you'll probably know the song as well. And it is This Little Light of Mine.
Right, so I've taken inspiration from the World Cup. Am I really interested in it? When they score lots of goals, I am. But I've still taken a bit of inspiration from it. But instead of having a hydration break, that's what they have now, don't they? Well, wouldn't it be better to have a chocolate break? What do you think? So. Let's pass them round, shall we? So please take one and pass them on. They're all the same, so you don't have to go through them, choosing them. Everyone is the same. No favourites. You can eat it now, or you can save it till later. It's up to you. Keep going. Do you like chocolate?
Yes.
Most of you do. So long as it doesn't melt, it's all right, but I've kept them in a cool box till now to make sure they're going to be all right. So keep passing them on. How far have we got? Have we got to the next aisle yet? Pardon? What?
It's all gone.
Oh. They've all gone. So, those of you who haven't got one, how do you feel? Are you disappointed?
Yes.
Do you feel left out?
Yes.
You're a bit annoyed with me.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe if you haven't had your breakfast this morning, you might think, oh, that would have just done me. And I'd have managed to a coffee. Well, they ran out. But that certainly wasn't the case for over 5,000 people in Galilee one day. They spent the day with Jesus, listening to him and healing the sick. And then it started to get really late. Jesus' disciples suggested to Jesus that he send everyone away to the neighbouring villages to get some food. They were so hungry, but Jesus had other ideas. He found out that in the crowd there were 5 loaves, wasn't there? And two fish, that's right. So having thanked the Heavenly Father for the food, he got his disciples to hand it out to everyone. Now you'd have thought 5 loaves and 2 fish, you wouldn't have got very far. Maybe 5 or 6 people. And maybe it would run out. But it didn't. It didn't run out like our chocolates did earlier. Matthew's gospel tells us there'll be enough for everyone. Not just a crumb or a crust. Everyone had enough till they were full up. Not only that, there was so much left over and it was collected up afterwards so nothing was wasted. But Jesus didn't simply make sure that his close friends and his disciples were fed. He made sure that every single person in that crowd who was present on that day was fed. Every single person mattered to Jesus. No one was left out. No one was left hungry. Not only that, there was lots of food left. Jesus knows that inside of us, each one of us, there is a hunger. Not for bread, but for a satisfying and fulfilling life. And Jesus offers that life to each of us if we choose to come to him. And there is enough life to go round for everyone who wants to receive it. No one is left out, like earlier. No one is forgotten. No one is unnoticed. And no one needs to stay hungry. On that day, Jesus provided enough food for everyone to eat. And the people had a choice, didn't they? Shall they eat it or shan't they eat it? They had a choice whether to eat it or not. They could have seen the bread and said, oh, no, no, thank you. We don't want that. And we too have a choice, whether to receive the gift of life that Jesus offers us or not. So have you said yes to the gift of life that Jesus offers you? Or are you still hungry? Right, it's time to sing again. Let's, in the book, 511, Spirit of the Living God.
Good morning, everyone. It's me again. I've spent all week trying to think, what the heck am I going to talk about? Changing my mind. But I thought, you know, sometimes you just got to listen to what he's telling you. So when I was walking around this morning, because I've got no car, I was looking at the trees and they were all blowing and enjoying it. And I thought, this is nature. This is God. You know, there's got to be a God when you look out. Because all the weather we've had and everything and all the bad things. So I thought, no, I'm going to stick with this. I don't know what it means. So you'll have to work it out. So I've got to stick to it. God says, do this one. So this is what I'm doing. And it's called, Know the Season You're In. He shall be like a tree that brings forth its fruit in its season. Psalm 1, verse 3. One key to fulfilling your destiny is realising what season you're in. If you don't, you will feel exasperated and disappointed. And we all know that feeling when things don't go right. For example, in some seasons, learning to follow is more important than learning to lead. In some seasons, handling failure offers more value than handling success. One of the biggest errors we make is concentrating on all our energy on the next season, rather than enjoying the season we're in, maximising it and gleaning all its lessons. God wants to get you where he wants you to go, even more than you want to get there. So enjoy the journey and understand that God will get you there when you're ready. Your present frustrations will give you a reason for future celebration if you stay the course long enough. God is developing emotional endurance inside you. The key to emotional endurance is to go through the highs and fight your way through the disappointment that breaks us. And God will build us back up with that holy confidence Can you imagine how David felt when he watched his brothers go off to war while he stayed home tending the flock of sheep? But this day was coming, and yours will too. While you wait, don't bypass God's plans by taking shortcuts. God is setting you up, but the bigger the opportunity, the longer it takes. The reason we get irritated is because you think big about thinking too long, considering what you've got to do and the encouragement when it takes longer than you estimated. That means God wants you to do something considerably more than all you can think of. I don't know what the message actually is, but walking around, I thought, sometimes we've just got to listen. Just listen to what God's telling us to do in our lives. You know, we're going to have disappointments. We're going to have ups. We're going to have downs. But I think God accepts us all just as we are. Just come just as we are. And everybody's got to accept everybody as they are. Ups and downs, faults and failings. Just love one another. So I hope it means something to you. God bless.
Hi. As I tried to prepare for today, again, like it already been said, God changed people's hearts and he changed my heart in order to say what he wants me to convey to you. It's about a person which has an unusual character, an unusual profession, and her name is Rahab. She's found in Joshua 2. But God wants to let us know, regardless where you're from, regardless what your background is, how clever you are, and whether you're accepted by your peers or not, God has accepted you and he loves you. He loves you more than we can ever think of, ask of, or imagine. So let me read to you what this article says. Much could be said about Rahab without mentioning her profession. She was a Canaanite. She provided cover for the spies of Joshua. She came to believe in the God of Abraham long before she ever met the children of Abraham. She was spared in the destruction of that city because she helped Joshua and his people to escape. She married a contemporary of Joshua's. She bore a son named Boaz, had a great-grandson named Jesse, a great-great-son named David, and a descendant from that line named Jesus. Yes, Rahab's name appears on the Bible, on the family tree of Jesus, the Son of God. Her CV didn't mention her profession. Yet, in 5 of the 8 appearances in Scripture, she's called a harlot. Yes, 5 times. She's also mentioned in the books of Hebrews, in chapter 11. The list includes big names like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, many others, and then all of a sudden, the harlot Rahab. No asterisk mark, no footnote, no apology. Her history is part of her testimony. Yes, her history is part of her testimony. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. Think about this carefully. It says, her profession of faith mattered more to God than her profession as a harlot. Yes, her profession of faith mattered more to God than a profession as a harlot. Maybe your past is checkered like mine. Maybe your peers don't share your faith. Maybe your pedigree is one of violence and your ancestry is one of a rebellion. If so, then Rahab is your model. We don't drop scarlet cords on our windows to let spies escape. But we trust in the crimson thread of Jesus' blood. We don't prepare for the coming of a Hebrew army, but we live with an eye towards the second coming of Joshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, Christ Jesus, our Saviour, and the God who redeemed and redirected Rear will do the same for you and for me if we surrender our lives, our hearts to him. And that's what God is doing. He's looking on everybody's heart, regardless who we are. He directs our path, and he will lead us if we let him. So let us have a surrendering heart. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. All the fathers in the house. Last week, I was supposed to buy a card for my fathers, and I'd be babysitter all last week, Saturday, and I couldn't buy the card. So I'm sorry, but God knows all our fathers in the house. You are already blessed because the June is for all the fathers. God bless you. I'm reading this quotation from, I'm reading Psalm 117 from 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, all nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth. For he loved us with unfailing love. The Lord's faithfulness dwelleth forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Right, at this point in the service, we'll take up the offering, please. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are the giver of all good things, and we give these offerings with joy and sincerity. We give freely and not a compulsion. We recognise your hand in everything that we have. We ask that you bless these offerings and guide their use for the furtherance of your kingdom, both within this church and in the wider community. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Right, we're going to sing again. This time it's 599, When We Walk With the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I did write another piece, but Frank said I would depress you if I read that, so I've written something else. Because I don't want to do that. It's called The Oak Tree by Johnny Ray Ryder Jr. A mighty wind blew night and day. It stole the oak tree's leaves away. The snaps it's brought and pulled its bark until the oak was tired and stark. But still the oak tree held its ground while other trees fell all around. The weary wind gave up its spoke, and you can still be standing oak. How can you still be standing oak? The oak tree said, I know that you can break each branch of mine in two, carry every leaf away, shape my limbs and make me a way. But I have roots stretched in the earth, growing stronger since my birth. You'll never touch them, for you see, they are the deepest part of me. Until today I wasn't sure of just how much I could endure, but how I found, with thanks to you, I'm stronger than I ever knew. When I read this poem, I thought how fitting it was for the theme Helen set for today. My life the past 3 years has been a bit like the oak tree. I have been blessed with a bungalow and two wonderful gardens that the Lord helped me to create. Then at the same time, I have been coping with some very challenging situations with my sister and her dementia, sometimes to the point of despair. But my roots are so grounded in my faith now that it is becoming stronger with each new challenge that comes every day. Between last Sunday and Friday, I have 5 prayers answered almost immediately. How wonderful is that? Every day, my faith grows stronger because, as the oak tree says, my roots are now the deepest part of me. I have a Bible verse to finish on. It's from Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen.
Morning all. Just firstly want to say what a real blessing and an honour. I've only been part of your congregation for a couple of months and you've kindly invited me to share something. So it really is a blessing every time I've come for the last couple of months. I've been greeted so warmly and then having tea and coffee with people at the end, learning about Alderman's Green. It's a real blessing, so thank you. So I've been praying about this all week. Quite interestingly, actually, it just coincided with something I've started doing in my own spiritual life, and that is reading a psalm at night and reading a psalm in the morning. So this one was, I think, 2 mornings ago, and I just felt God was asking me to share it. So I hope it resonates with people and they get blessed. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Just 3 things I'd like to share, guys. The Lord protected me quite recently from something that actually threatened my whole career. I teach and I run a football academy for young children. And I believe that is what God has blessed me to do. I stood on God's word a while ago and was accused when I did that of being biased, basically. could have got me in a lot of trouble. I've seen cases in the press where people have actually been struck off from ever working with children just from standing on God's word. I had to leave this in God's hand. He delivered me. He protected me. Because obviously if I lost my career, I've lost my calling and I've lost an income. So thank God that he protected me from an accuser. In verses 4 and 5, in your anger, do not sin. When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. I come from a family background and a childhood upbringing that if you mess with me, I'm going to mess with you. Okay? God has taught me that is not the way. I owe God absolutely everything for his goodness and faithfulness since I've been a Christian at the age of 16, because I've not been a very good one up until recently. It was always on my terms. I owe God absolutely everything, so I had to leave this in his hands. There's no place for anger in my life anymore. That was part of a previous life that has no part anymore. So thank God that he taught me through his word, and my relationship with Jesus is leave it with him. You know, don't act on your anger. And then just the last one, verses 6 and 7. Who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. The world, and I was one of them, are always turning to experiences, possessions, etc. for happiness. Thank God, particularly in the last couple of years with my walk with him, he showed me that there is absolutely no happiness outside of his will for our lives. That the peace, the joy, the contentment that the world is searching for in all the wrong places, unfortunately, only exists in God. So every day I wake up now, my first priority is, like what Bear Grylls said, try and fill my soul with him. Always seek his will for my life. Don't act in my own strength, just to trust him. And I can honestly say the last 2 years of my life, when I've really started to take my walk with God more seriously, has been the best 2 years of my life. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Morning. I'm grateful for the opportunity to say this morning. I will just ask us this simple question. When you are confused, when you have a problem, who do you go to? The last song we sang, When We Walk With The Lord, I love the lyrics. When we are confused, who do we go to? We go to Jesus. And I have a Bible verse that I always use when I'm confused. That's Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way. I'll leave us with this.
Morning, everybody. How are we doing? I can't hear you. Right, thanks. Helen said I've got 5 minutes, so I'm going to try to condense, basically, my walk with God in 5 minutes. I said to Helen, give me at least half an hour. She says you've got 5 minutes. So I'm going to try to condense all of this lot into about 5 minutes of my walk with God, and hopefully it'll encourage some of you to think about the Lord and where you are. Right, I was born 3rd of November 1954 to a loving mother, not so much a dad because he was in the forces, so we never used to see a lot of him anyway. At the age of 12, I was head choir boy down in Topsham in Devon. I used to get half a crown for a funeral, and I lasted about a year because I ended up falling out with the head choir master because he didn't see things my way. So that was my early life, in a nutshell. I ended up, at the age of 17, going to work for an engineering firm. My father came with me for the interview. I got the job. I stuck it for a few years. I joined a union, and it was an open shop. Nobody wanted unions, but the management wouldn't listen to what I was saying. Now, in all of this, God has had his hand on me, but I didn't know any of this at the time. Anyhow, eventually it all turns out, I looked around the workshop and I saw all these old blokes and that, because we never had any women in the workshop. they were up in the offices, and we only had old blokes around the workshop. And I looked around and I thought, I don't want to end up like this, because some of them were 60, 70 years old, and that's all they'd known. There was an old boy whose nickname was Bootsy, and every month he had to go to the doctors and have his eyeballs popped out to have them scraped behind him because he's got no, he couldn't produce any tears. And I thought, I'm not going to end up like that. So one night at a pub with my best mate, I said to him, I said, I'm thinking about joining the forces. Nothing to do with me dad. I said, I'm thinking about joining the forces. He says, well, I want to become a tank driver. I said, I always wanted to drive a bulldozer since I was yay high. God still had his hand on me at this time. So to condense it quickly, I went and joined the Royal Engineers, and it was one of the best things I ever did because it put me on straight and narrow. I learnt to iron, cook, etc., and everything else. But the thing is, God has his hand on me all this time, and I never knew it. My first posting when I left training was to go to Northern Ireland. Now, this was back in 1980, and of course we had internment, and you had Bobby Sands and Bernadette Devlin and all of that, and the IRA, UDA, UVF, you name it, they were all there. And as a rookie, I went out there. Now, a friend of mine came with me at the same time, and we landed at Aldergrove Airport. We went to camp, and he suddenly turned around and says, I've lost my suitcase, because we'd been picked up by a Land Rover. He said, I've lost my suitcase. I said, what do you mean, lost your suitcase? I've left it on the Land Rover. So we went to the squadron headquarters. Well, where would his suitcase have gone to? They said, Londonderry. I said, oh, flipping it. They said to us, take a covert car, which was a little mini at the time, so you don't get recognised, and go to Londonderry, pick your case up and come back. And I tell you, I've never been so scared in all my life. We went across Derry Bridge, and you could actually feel Satan at work. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. The place was covered in thunder and lightning, and you thought, come on, God, hurry up. We need to get there and get out. We found a camp, got your suitcase, and I tailed it out there. All that time that I was in Northern Ireland for 2 years, God had his hand on me. I got shot at. I had a few IEDs and stuff, but God protected me. We then got posted elsewhere. I ended up going to Hamel, which was supposed to have been Gibraltar or Cyprus or Belize, but no, I got posted to Hamel. So I started doing a few more courses, and it was then that the Falklands started, and they said to me, oh, do you want to go to the Falklands? I said, oh, yeah, I'll go Falklands, not a problem. Yeah, I'll fancy a bit of fighting in it. And I said, but what about the security stuff I was running in Oslo, in Germany? Because I was in charge of all the plant for BAOR, for doing the security to prevent the IRA blowing us up. And they said, oh, you'll hand that over to someone else. And I said, nah, they won't be able to do what I'm doing because I've been doing it for a year. I know what I'm doing. God had his hand on me in that situation. So I didn't go to the Falklands until much later on. A few years later on, Bosnia turned up. Oh, do you want to go to Bosnia? Yeah, I'll have a go at Bosnia. Yeah, not a problem, great. What about me section commander's course? What about it? I said, well, I have to start again because I'm 6 weeks into it. It's a 12-week course. Yeah, you'll have to do it all again. I says, well, you can forget that. I'll stay where I am. So God had his hand on me yet again. So I didn't go to Bosnia. Same thing again when the Gulf War took off. I was in the middle of doing my plant section commander's course. And they said to me, do you want to go to the Gulf? I says, yeah, I'll go to the Gulf. What about my plant section commander's course? Oh, you'll have to start that again. I says, well, you can forget it. So God had his hand on me again. And basically, that's what God's done through most of my army career. And I didn't know it at the time. I wasn't a Christian then. I knew about God. I knew there was something up there, but I weren't sure. Came out of the forces in 94. My marriage went down the tubes. I ended up on a caravan on the drive of a house that we used to live at, not knowing what to do. And I thought, I'm all on my own here. Is life really worth living? And I went on a computer, on the internet, and I had a look round, and oh, and lo and behold, I'm not the only one who's going through all these problems. God's got his hand on me. Still not a Christian yet, but God had his hand on me. So went on the internet, and this is when I found Margaret. And it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I found her on the internet and I started pushing. Come on, we need to meet. Got to meet. Yeah, yeah. And she said, you keep on, I'm going the other way. And I went, oh, all right. That's all right, fair enough. So I backed off a bit and then eventually persuaded her to meet me. Well, she decided the best place to meet was behind the law courts at the police station at Parkside in Coventry. Oh, great, yeah, that's right. It's going to be the safest place for her, isn't it? So I turned up on the motorbike, and from Ely, where I lived, to Margaret's house is exactly 90 miles. I did it in just over an hour on the bike. Not speeding, was I, officer? And I pulled up at the law courts, and there she was, lo and behold, in her Renault 19. And I thought, oh, flipping heck, I've done right here, haven't I? And got off the bike. And I says, hello, I'm Nick. She says, oh, hello, I'm Margaret. Do you want to get your kit off? I said, you what? She said, do you want to get your kit off? Well, I had all my motorbike gear on, didn't I? So I took my motorbike gear off. We went for a coffee. And we hadn't looked back. And then in 2004, we got married. But before that, she introduced me to God. She took me to Streams of Life. Said, if you want to marry me, you've got to, my dog's first got to like you. I says, well, I'm in there because I'm a bit of an animal lover. The second thing was, she turned round and she said, you've got to read Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, and I will be asking questions. So I did, and I was a good boy. I took it all in and all the rest of it. And then she says, you've got to come to church. So that was the three things. So I came to church, the Streams of Life, and that's where I did an Alpha course, and two of our church leaders run the Alpha course, and I said to the pair of them, I said, look, I know there's something up there, I said, but I'm sitting on a fence, and I said, it's up to you two to make sure I fall on the right side of the fence, because what came to mind with me was Chris de Burgh's Spaceman Came Travelling, and if you ever heard the music, ever listen to it, and that's, as far as I was concerned, that was where God was a spaceman. Thankfully, our leaders got me to fall on the right side of the fence, and I became a Christian. We got baptised. I got baptised, and everything moved on from then. And to give you a couple of instances where God has really worked into our situation, we've seen people healed at Streams of Life. We had a lass come over from Iran who was wheelchair bound and had been since she was firstborn. She came, and one of our church leaders prayed for her, and she left that church walking. Now, I know lots of people say, oh, it's coincidence, it's this, it's that. No, it's not. It's God at work. It's God at work. We had a similar sort of thing when we went to Dresden. Two instances. We went to On the Move, which is where you feed people German food, and then you can talk to them about God. So you're feeding them the Bible, feeding this sort of stuff. First time we went, they said to us, we're attaching you to a guy from Bielefeld, and you can go down to the Neustadt, which is the new town. Well, the new town's all full of druggies and junkies and all this sort of stuff. And I went, I told them, go down there. I want to stay here. No, yeah, go down to Neustadt. I said, all right. So I went with this guy, and we went down to the new town, and there was this big area ran between two buildings. And it was full of old tree stumps and logs and that. And there was, must have been 50 to 60 punk rockers and all that lot there. Chains, lumps of stuff stuck in their face, metal here, metal there, metal everywhere. And I thought, oh, we've had it now. Because we walked into this ground and everything went dead quiet. And I thought, if you're there, God, be with us, will you? And so I walked up to the leader, and she was a big lass, a very big lass. And I went up to her, and I said, God loves you. And she just fell apart, just fell into tears. And what happened was, all of those punk rockers and all this lot that were outcasts used to come to our meetings when we did it. But the trouble with the German churches then, they didn't follow it up. So we lost them. But the other time we went there and did the same sort of thing, it was chucking it down with rain. Well, when it's chucking it down with rain, nobody wants to come to a food fest or whatever you like to call it. So Margaret and I went out in the pouring rain and we walked around Dresden praying. Now, Dresden's in a bowl. It's in a bowl like that. And as we were praying, the clouds started doing this. So they all parted. The van turned up. We took all the tables, chairs and everything else out, the cooking equipment, blah, blah, blah. Set it all up. We did it, got the people in, talked to them about Jesus, fed them and all the rest of it. At the end, just as we put the last table into the van, the clouds just went whoosh. And it was absolutely amazing. Now, you can't tell me God wasn't in that. You can't just tell me this is coincidence, because I don't believe it. I don't believe any of it at all. And to put everything into a nutshell now, Streams of Life folded about 2 years ago. And we didn't know what to do, where to go. Well, Malty had bought her house just down the road specifically to come to church because she could walk, because she didn't drive anymore. She could walk. And we thought, oh, flipping it, now what are we going to do? So we came here. And we found our forever home, we think, now. And it's all thanks to you people welcoming us and God being with you and all the rest. And it's been absolutely fantastic. It's been a fantastic journey. I mean, I could carry on waffling now for about another half an hour if you wanted to, but that's it, and I'll let you get on with your day, guys. Thanks ever so much.
So please don't look at the time. The joy of so many people taking part is far better than looking at what time it is now. So don't cut anything short. Those of you have still got to come, okay? We'll sing the next one, 256. It's the presence of your spirit, Lord, we need. Maybe, Dave, if you played the first verse through completely, in case people can't remember it, okay?
Say good afternoon, dear friends. I would like to say thank you for your prayers and for always supporting me and my family. This year has been full of worries. At the beginning of the year, my husband and I were busy looking for a car. And soon after that, I discovered my daughter Svetlana was suffering from severe depression. She told me that she needed help and admitted that she had tried to harm herself. It was...
It was one of the biggest shocks of my life. Thankfully, we're able to get help quickly from our private psychologist. And with God's grace, she recovered and returned to her usual self. I prayed and God helped us. After Svetlana recovered, my other daughter, Anastasia, started feeling sick every morning before school. We had her blood tested and checked everything we could, but eventually we realized that her illness was caused by anxiety. She was worrying so much about school that she missed many days. As soon as I understood it was anxiety, I asked for help from her school, and the school secretary from my school gave me a good advice, told Anastasia that if she refused to go to school, from the school, they can come to your house. And when I shared this with Anastasia, she was surprised and decided to go to school straight away. I was so blessed, so thankful. She has now attended school for 4 days in a row and completed her exams, her mock exams. I am so thankful because God has helped her too. Next week, she will be doing her work experience and she's very excited about it. Another thing, yesterday my daughter Svetlana fainted after breakfast. Thankfully, her sister saw what happened and called me immediately. I was extremely shocked to find her lying on the floor. I believe she fainted because she had skipped dinner the night and ate breakfast much later than usual. I prayed again, asking God to protect her, and I thank Him that she's safe. I would also like to share some of the miracles God has shown us this year. When my husband and I went on holiday to the beach, we could not find anywhere to park. We're looking around like to park in the street, just in the street, and a priest by the house saw us and invited to park by his house. It may seem like a small thing, but to us it was beautiful reminder that God always provides for us needs and unexpected ways. At the moment, we have another challenge. Alex's dad has suffered 2 strokes and is in hospital. We are praying for his recovery and trusting God to give him strength and healing. We hope he'll be better soon. Throughout all these challenges, I have continued to pray, asking God to protect my family. I'm deeply thankful for his love, care, and guidance. Although this year has been difficult, it has taught us valuable lessons. We have learned to appreciate what we have, to treasure every moment together, and to pay more attention to our family. Work and many other things in life are temporary, but our loved ones are precious. Thank you again for prayers, kindness, and support. They have meant so much to us. I mean.
The first triple act of the day. I know it says song next to our name, but obviously I think we need to, well, I need to give you guys a bit of a context to the song. I've been threatened, by the way, by these two to keep to my 5 minutes because...
And Helen threatened you.
Helen has assured me that, you know, talk as much. But anyway, a bit of history as well. In 1890... Those of you that remember your history, Cecil John Rhodes went over down to the southern part of Africa and established what became Rhodesia. Fast forward, that's Zimbabwe, right? I was born in Zimbabwe. My wife Dana was born in Zimbabwe.
I was born down the road.
So anyway, so I was thinking as well, what could we talk about? Zimbabwe is actually one of the countries in Africa. There are 54 countries in Africa. Because when you talk about Africa, people think it's a country. It is a continent, with 54 countries, and Zimbabwe is one of those countries. Anyway, I speak a language called Ndebele, which is a dialect of the Zulu language from South Africa. Danai also speaks a language called Shona, which is one of the official languages in Zimbabwe. Nathan, what do you speak?
A bit of both.
Yeah. And my language, actually, the Ndebele, is the language with the clicks. You know, the X becomes Ikoko, the Q becomes Ikakalizakamula, the C becomes the Tsi, Tsi. So Ikakalakamula, Makamukamukamukamula, Matikum. Anyway, that is not part of the presentation. Anyway, having listened to what everyone has said, I think there's power in actually saying thank you to Jesus. Thank you, God. Our set actually behind that door, there's a sign and it says thank you at the bottom. I think saying thank you, Jesus, for things that you have is powerful. In 2004, God blessed us with this tall chap here. Nathan, do you want to say something?
I just had a quick story to tell. It's not really like a serious story. It's just a bit of a funny one, to be honest. I'm sure, like, can you guys hear me? Okay. So imagine, I think it was, when was it? When was the most recent bank holiday? The one that we had on Monday? Yeah, that's it. I was out for May Day with my friends. And so cool, we've been out, whatever. And then it's time to go home and my car's broke down. And bear in mind, like, my car was parked on a hill like this. So I'm thinking it's like 6 a.m. Don't know how I'm going to get back home. Cool. So then I tried to, like, start my car. It's not working. Tried to jump start it. Nothing's working. And then, like, cool. I was with all my friends, and what we done was we all had to push the car. So it was the funniest sight you'd ever see. 6 a.m, you can imagine. There's 10 of us pushing a small little car up a hill. And I just realized that if it wasn't for having good people around me, I wouldn't have been able to get myself out of that situation at the moment. And I think it's a reminder that with God, it's not always that our problems disappear. It's just he brings us people to help us carry those problems.
Go on then. My wife wants to say something.
I just wanted to say, I'm just here as their support system.
Okay, and then sticking on to the program, it does say song, so I decided we're going to try and sing a song for you guys. It's actually in three languages, all right, the Ndebele, the Shona, and one of the languages. We hope you guys will be able to join us when we sing the song. It's a short little song, it's only three verses, so we'll try, okay. Right, so, are we on? Okay. All right. So, we'll sing the song. Hopefully you get the tune, but it will make sense anyway. All right, you guys ready?
So, in the third bit, though.
I did say, yeah. Okay, right, we're ready. Okay, guys, Tim? All right. Siyabonga Jesu, siyabonga Jesu, siyabonga Jesu, hallelujah, amen. Tinotenda Jesu, tinotenda Jesu, tinotenda Jesu. Hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Jesus, amen. Thank you, Jesus, amen. Thank you, Jesus, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
So thank you for everyone being here today. It's a joy just to be together. whether we take part or not, or what we share in. And thank you for everyone who's taken part as well. So we'll have our final song, 716, Filled with Compassion.
Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this fellowship and worship that we have together. We thank everyone who has contributed in their walk with the Lord. Help us carry your truth and love into the week ahead. Amen.
Amen.
Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.